and welcome to the American Scouser Podcast. Monday nights, the trio is back. We are back in action. I am your host, as always, Timuchin, here in a freaking like getting cold again. Rain drizzle. There was hail the other day. It's uncalled for. I thought spring was here, so I don't appreciate this tease that they did for last 2-3 weeks over here. But still not bad, I guess. It's not snow like Jasmine is getting up in like Minnesota right now. But we are back. Gally is with us. Gally, what's happening?
No snow here, happy to say. Did see it, though. I was sitting there on a Saturday, I think, afternoon. This person pulled up, and I looked out the window of the establishment I was in, and I thought to myself, that person comes from a miserable place because they had about that much snow on the top of their car. And I thought to myself, it was just raining a lot where I was, so I couldn't complain that much. But the weather got nicer today. I still found a way to complain away the weekend.
Bickler is here. He's almost done with the wall behind him. Kind of had a mess going with all kinds of grout and blocks and stuff, but he made it in time. What's happening, Bickler?
Listen, the last president, you know, cashed a check with his mouth that I couldn't catch up with, so I'm still building over here. I don't have this much snow on the top of my car, but I have at least that much pollen. So that's how we do it in the South.
Yeah, honestly, like with this rain and stuff, that kind of went. But last week was, yes, not a great week for allergies and springtime over here. Well, let's start with, you know what? Because it's the international break, maybe I will give you guys a break and not do trivia this week. What do you guys say? So I would take advantage of this week of no games.
I would think that that would be too nice of you, and I would expect you to have a question or two.
Bickler, I am not that kind of guy. You know me, man.
I don't know. I feel like you're trolling us.
Yes.
See, this is what I love, though. I had it all set up. See, like, I don't want to offend the audience either, but I had it all set up over here. I'm ready to go. But I was like, you know what? Maybe I'll be nice this week. But, you know, I don't appreciate you guys not appreciating my appreciation of being nice. But you know what? Yes, I will give you guys a break. We will take full advantage of this international break over here and take a break from trivia. More importantly, BJ did not send the question this week. And
full disclosure, he was going to go on this little tirade and rant whether or not we answered either way. We could have been like, sure, we'd love trivia. Can we please have some more? And you would have been like,
see, you guys should have played.
No, you can't have one. Because if you like it, I can't give it to you. That's how it works here.
The answer is Steven Gerrard. And he's the winner. Congratulations. Okay, so obviously international break. Normally, you know, we break down the game from the weekend and look ahead and stuff like that. But I figured, you know, this week we kind of talk about stuff that maybe we've been putting off because the games were coming back and forth. And every 3 days we were playing a game that we had to kind of analyze injuries and all that kind of stuff. We've talked in the past, and obviously, you know, then the morning shows and the Thursday night podcast and stuff, the boys have talked about this as well. With all the changes happening, Edwards coming in, we did touch up on the Edwards thing over here. But one thing I don't think we ever got to was the hires afterwards. So I want to kind of like talk about that. And we did talk about Alonso and stuff like that. But I want to kind of open that up a bit more with you guys and kind of like look ahead to the future while we have a breather here. Because obviously after this week, it's going to be nothing but games, fast and furious again. And by the time we breathe, hopefully we'll have a new manager anyway. But so obviously with Klopp leaving, looks like Bickler, the message has been, you know, they're kind of restructuring. And maybe it's smart because Klopp, one guy to replace Klopp and everything he does is probably not possible. So you bring Hughes in, you know, Edwards brings Hughes in, Hughes brings this guy Virgil in. So what do you make of it? How happy are you? If you graded it with 10 out of 10 being the best, obviously, where would you put that part of the rebuild or restructuring? Whatever you want to call it.
I'll go 9. I think Edwards is who we all like. I mean, it's hard to have gotten to imagine a scenario where A, we would have gotten him back, and B, that we would have gotten a better option back. So I love that. I love the fact that, like, I guess I'm giving it a 9 because I don't know what the head of football actually does. Like, I'm not sure what that is. Like, I keep thinking it would be nice to have a world-class sporting director as well with Edwards, but it sounds to me like that's probably not going to happen just based on whatever a head of football is. But, you know, I do love the fact that, like, if we're going to have Edwards and Edwards is going to return to the throne, so to speak, that everything that follows is going to be his guys, right? Because yeah. I feel like you got to have that. And I feel like that was part of the issue before, is that we did have a natural divide internally, whether some people believe that or not. Facts are bearing out that that absolutely was the case. So I think it's nice to have, like, in a camp established firmly where it's going to be Edwards and Edwards' guys. And I think with that, like, it makes it real easy for guys like us to know where to point the finger. That can only be a good thing.
So, okay, before I can jump to Gally, you gave 9 out of 9, right? 9 out of 10. 9 out of 10. What part of that is, like, is 6 out of that 9 Edwards, 7 out of that 9 Edwards? It's more like an Edwards we trust, and he brings his guys in.
It's one collective grade. I'm not giving it a 10 because I wanted a really world-class, like, sporting director, and I also don't know what a head of football is. That's why I'm giving it a 9.
Okay, that's fair. Gally, where are you at with this? Like, what is your grade for the restructure?
Yeah, I was going to say 8, but I thought that was just kind of like scoring on the curve and being really nice. I think that it's an incomplete because you got to see who they hire as manager and what FSG does with this. To Paul's answer, I think what this is this is FSG actually separating themselves from Fenway Sports Group and Liverpool Football Club and literally getting the guy who helped make Liverpool the second largest portion of their portfolio and just saying, you're the CEO. By saying you're the CEO of football operations, it's not actually saying he is the sporting director of Liverpool. It's saying you're in charge of our football operation because their intention is to buy another club and he's going to oversee both of them and the entire structure of both of them, including youth systems. Like, Edwards was now in charge of everything that is football operations at Liverpool. And I genuinely believe that his guys are exactly who he wanted. I think it's, for me, it's still a little incomplete. We could look at Hughes' moves at Bournemouth, and for all the great ones, we could find some bad ones. It's not perfect by any means, but it's a hell of a lot better than Klopp leaving, Schmacka leaving, and nobody knowing who's coming through the door on March 25th. Because we not only know who's coming through the door, we know their track record, and it's been successful here.
And I think that's, like, the biggest part. Like, the fact that it's Edwards, and then I take it as – that's why I was asking Bickler. I take it as Edwards coming in and Edwards bringing his boys. And I think regardless of who those people were, I was going to be okay with it because I want him to bring his own guys. Kazi says it doesn't feel right that he's not on this podcast now. An unbreakable connection with Bickler. I saw that, and, like, a little tear went – I thought you guys were giving like a virtual hug and everything like that. So it was
a very
touching moment.
There was a little bit of like a stepbrothers moment in the post-match recap show. We came to grips on a lot of things, actually. We recognized that we all work in the same industries, that we all could potentially use a new scenery. Kazi's all kinds of sending out resume builders for us. There was some synergy that happened last week. It was a simpatico type of close to that evening of bravado that they had.
A real seamless transition from, like, you know, like current pod production right into job recruiting right after, which is pretty amazing, actually.
That's why he was trying to come on, so he could recruit you guys for like jobs or something like that. But yeah, I mean, I think, that was, by the way, our first Patreon Monday podcast guest. So hopefully many more to come. And obviously I just got enough of Kazi last night. Kazi made some, I mean, you thought he was making shocking statements on a Monday night podcast. You guys got to see him in the Scouser Irishman and a Turk show. He made some statements yesterday. That episode 3, you got to sign up on Patreon just to see Kazi's take on certain things. But I won't spoil it any more than that. But yeah, I mean, I think that's where I'm at. 8.5, I think Matush was going with. I think sounds about right just because of Edwards. And I think going back to what you were saying, Gally, it's because the opposite was just having like an unknown, walking into the unknown after Klopp and replacing Klopp. So now at least there's light at the end of the tunnel. It feels like we know where we're going, as opposed to just diving into something dark and not knowing if we're just going to suddenly crash into a wall. So I kind of like that aspect. So let me get to the second phase of this. Kaza says he can't deal with losers. And yes, he yeah, you guys have to tune into Patreon. By the way, if you have not signed up to Patreon, this is a good reason by itself to go ahead and do that. You can sign up for free and still get the access to all the content we have for this month. But there's also the Gordon Lee cheap-ass tier at $1 a month as well, for less than a cup of coffee a month. So let's get to the manager thing, right? Because everybody somehow is assuming that it's going to be Alonso, which it might not be, and we talked about a lot. And I think we can speculate all we want. Really, it's nothing but speculation and guesses and trying to connect dots. Like, he wanted to get that guy when he was here, and he liked the picture of him on Instagram and stuff like that. You know, so let's not get into that conversation. But here's what I want to ask you guys. So when we're replacing Klopp, Victor, let's start with you. So obviously, like I said in the beginning, it's kind of like an impossible task to replace the guy. So when you look at the new manager you want to bring in, what do you want in terms of temperament? Do you want more of the Klopp? Because, and the reason I ask is I feel like that is very hard to duplicate and it's going to be compared. You almost want somebody a bit more calm and collected, so he's not compared as easily. But maybe that's just me. Where are you at with that?
I just don't think that you're going to get a Jurgen Klopp. I think he's like sort of a one-on-one with managers. I think especially in terms of like the paternal thing that he sort of like projects onto a team. And like it's almost just – it was almost like the perfect storm in terms of how he like creates squads and becomes like almost embedded in the community, where like the club becomes an extension of the community, which I think is just like perfect for Liverpool, because I think that's what Liverpool football really is. I think Liverpool football has always been sort of an extension of that community. Right. And I know the Everton side will probably have something different to say about that, but like, at least that's how it feels to me. I don't know that you can get that. I think the best that you can ask for is somebody that can come in and that it can adapt well and can build a squad and has a clearly defined vision of how his team plays football, and also is tactically adept to the point where it can, where it's a manager who can change his tactics and his formations to fit situational football in the Premier League. And I think you have to do that in the Premier League. And so I know that's a criticism that we sort of have with Klopp, is like, you know, slow to adopt, slow to change. I that's what I want to see in the next manager, the ability to do that.
So, I mean, Mateusz says, argument for someone so far away from being like Klopp to just squash those comparisons early. And I think that's where I'm at, Gally. I just feel like if you bring somebody similar to Klopp in that sense, temperament-wise, let's say, it's going to be like watching Arteta trying to be like Klopp. You know, it's always going to be compared, and nobody's going to get there regardless of, you know, until they maybe win a bunch of trophies themselves. So especially in the beginning, there's nobody who can definitely get to Klopp. And I think, you know, like Bickler is saying, that connection with the city and stuff, I don't even know if any manager will be able to duplicate that, because that's very difficult. But in terms of temperament, do you want a calm and collected guy on the sideline, or do you want a guy that's more Klopp-like in the sense that's more energetic, running, yelling, grinning, teeth showing?
Yeah. So I think it's a difficult one, because I guess my answer would be I want the guy who's best for the job when it comes to the tactics and who they think should lead the team. His personality needs to be real. Like, that's the hardest thing. Like, if you think De Zerbi is the best person for the job, you can't ask him to not be kind of eccentric and out there and yelling and fighting with reporters and smoking cigarettes, you know, in the tunnel, because that's just who De Zerbi is. Like, that's the personality. You get the manager that you hire. And I would hate for them to go out there and be like, well, Carlo Ancelotti, good. Xabi Alonso, good. Like, but if they really thought Antonio Conte could take him to the promised land, I'm not advocating for that crazy ass Italian, But if they thought he could take him to the promised land, I wouldn't want him to be like, no, he's a little too fiery and he's a that type of verbal leader. I've told you all along, I think it'll be a mixed guy. Because I think that it'll end up being Nagelsmann. I've been saying it since the beginning. I don't know why. It's in my gut. I think it's genuinely who Edwards wanted to hire before they hired Klopp. And there was all kinds of rumors they were trying to get him out of Hoffenheim because they wanted like a young manager to bring up with all the young players. I think Jurgen Klopp genuinely fell in FSG's lap. And they didn't really know what to do with themselves when they got him. They were trying to find young up-and-coming managers, and I think we're going to see Edwards hire his guy. And I'll be shocked if it's Alonso, to be honest. That doesn't feel like it would be an Edwards move, because Xavi was gone long before Edwards got involved.
Yeah, I mean, I think it mixed. I mean, Nagelsmann, that's why, I mean, I like that as a name and type, I guess. But, I mean, before we even get to the tactics, does that personality make a big difference in terms of who you're getting in the selection process, Bickler? Because, like, I mean, they are who you are, who you are, right? Like Gally's saying, if the guy is this, that's what you're getting. You know, he's not going to come in and be like, but we want you to be calm or something like that. So you're getting that character. Based on the squad and the squad that's used to Klopp, do you want to bring somebody with that temperament to continue it? Or do you want to kind of like change things up in that sense? Because then everybody in the squad is going to compare him to Klopp as well in terms of how he handles things.
I mean, I think you got to find somebody who is known as a player's manager. I think you have to. I think if you go too far in the opposite direction, you have the real possibility of essentially shattering that locker room and basically creating divides. Because you're going to have a squad full of players who are used to having an open door suddenly shut. Like in terms of communication with their manager. And I don't think you can have that. I think if I mean, we all think Edwards is smart, right? I think if he's smart, he's going to go get a guy that knows how to manage players and keep an open door and have a clear line of communication and really somebody who has the ability to mentor these young players. Cause you know, like it or not, there's obviously some real leadership here, but like, once again, it's kind of weird. Cause we're like almost back to where we were when we hired Klopp. We sort of almost need a young manager. Because this is actually a young team, yeah. Right? Outside of like the few standing veterans, like this, we cleaned out last summer. A lot of those, you know, the older players are gone. Some of them are still here. There's a stable veteran leadership, but in the whole, this is still a young squad.
So I think we're on the same page there in terms of like what we want. Because, like I say, I keep going back to the fact that you're not going to duplicated. So you want something different, but you want some of the better parts of what this team is used to as well. So let's go to the tactical side of things. And this is more I guess I'm asking Gally more not in terms of like the benefit of the club kind of thing, what you would personally prefer. Do you want a manager who's going to come in? And obviously every manager is going to have, you know, be able to tactically deviate and stuff like that. But do you want a manager who's going to come in with their own tactics that's very different to what we have? Or do you want a manager, having seen what we have this season so soon, we kind of did not expect to gel so fast. Do you want a manager who's only going to make small tweaks?
I want there to be, I think to Paul's point, I want there to be more flexibility in the tactics. I want the manager to come in and look at the talent around it. And I want him to actually make changes that make sense. And I don't mean that Klopp hasn't, because I think Klopp's done an amazing job and as quick as he's turned him around this year. But I think even Klopp knows that maybe some new, fresher tactics might suit this group of players. Like, I think there's a lot of reasons that went into him stepping down and leaving. And I think some of it is we came up as fast as we did. I think some of it is he's tired in his health. And I think some of it is he doesn't want to figure out how to make Darwin Nunez, Cody Gakpo, and Fabio Carvalho play in the same side. No, I mean, I genuinely don't think he wants to, because I don't think he has that answer to the question of that. Like, if you put that question on the test, I don't think Jurgen Klopp has the answer. And I think that we need a little freshness, and I think it would be refreshing to maybe not see three forwards and play with a little bit more of a balanced midfield with attackers, and maybe play with a striker and an off striker or a true winger, like get rid of the inverted fullbacks. And I do think a little bit of it's 8 years of almost the same thing, just evolving to be better at it. It's probably everybody was right. It was probably time for a change. Nobody knew it more than Klopp.
Yeah, I mean, I think he probably knows the answer, but the question is like not a yes or no question. He has to write an essay to answer that. You need time to be able to come up with stuff. And if he's anything like me, he's like, fuck that essay question. I'm skipping this. But that's what it feels like to me. Like he does not want to go into the huge operation. Too tired to go into that operation because that's a project that's probably, you know, several years, kind of like how we rebuilt the last one. How about you, Bickler, in terms of, you know, do you want someone who's going to come in and say, okay, like, I see how you guys are doing over this. I want to tweak this, tweak that. Or do you want somebody to come in and say, I play with three in the back and stuff? You know what I mean? Like, just totally impose their own system and maybe some people who don't fit, etc.
I mean, this is probably unrealistic, but I want both, right? Like, I want somebody who has, like, that adaptability to do those things, but I also want somebody with a clear system, right? And I think, I mean, I'm a fan of the Nagelsmann shout just because I think he has those things. He has, you know, played extended periods with a back three, but we saw him in his last run, after Werner left Leipzig, he played a 4-2-3-1 for a long period of time. I thought it was interesting. So there's this quote that I was reading on Nagelsmann, and he says, 30% of coaching is tactics and 70% is social competence. And if you didn't have somebody tagged to that and you put an ABCD multiple choice list of answers and Jurgen Klopp was in there, I would have chosen Jurgen Klopp as the answer to that. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I mean, because that's the part that's going to be hard to replace, right? See, I'm not going to fall into that, Matuš. He's trying to set me up and get me going and playing Trent as attacking midfielder. Not falling for that.
Matuš over there on the windup.
So I guess, Gally, that's the main question, right? I mean, we do want somebody who's going to be able to obviously change things on the fly. But in some ways, the fact that we want change is that just – in some ways, it doesn't make sense because this is working right now and working well. Like, you know, some of us want change. I'm not saying us three, but some people want change almost like for the sake of change to watch something different. It's almost like signing new players, like just to watch something different.
There's probably some of that. I think some of it's like the recency bias. But I think the other part is like it's working really well this year. It didn't work as well last year. And I think at times, even this year, we've questioned why it's working. Like, is it the emotions of Klopp's last season? How are we pulling out all these late goals and these breaks, you know, as we like to say, that are coming our way? I think where it comes down to for me is there's a lot of excitement about the future because Klopp put us in such a good situation and it's been such a great run. And I think if he told us with a week to go, this would feel like a ton of bricks and this angst and this like, but it's almost like, and I hate using this because it's like real life stuff, but it's almost like when you like know someone's going to die long in advance and you like prepare yourself for it. Like we've prepared ourselves that this is it. Like you see the posts on our Discord channel when Rich shares today the letter he wrote to the young kid with anxiety. And it's like, how can this guy be leaving us that would spend this time like writing a letter to a young man or a young child who's suffering from this? Like, I understand that. We do feel like we're losing a family member, but we had time to like prepare for it and grieve for it. And I think sometimes when that happens, you also think about like, man, when it's over, it's going to be nice to have this behind us and move forward and like get back on and like not miss grandma at Christmas and have a season next year without old man Klopp. And I know it sounds hokey what I'm saying, but I do think we all treat this club like family. We talk about it like family. He talks about the city and his connection with the club like family. And he made us part of his family. And, it, you know, it's going to suck to see him go. But, like, there could be, like, this is almost like your aunt, like, broke up with, like, your favorite, the favorite dude who came to Christmas. And like, but she's still the cool aunt. and she might go find like the other cool boyfriend. And by Easter, she may have like the other cool guy who like takes you out back and smokes weed with you or gives you drinks or something. Like, that's who Jurgen Klopp was to me. He was like the cool guy who came into the family and just like jumped in and changed everything all at once and made it better. And now like we got to replace that. And I think we can find it. Maybe with some other German dude.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like I say, the bar is very high, right? Like, when we talk about, like, we were talking about Keller and Allison and stuff like that, we're like, nobody can replace that guy. You just got to come close. And I think that's why we're looking for somebody to come close in terms of being able to do that. I think the parts with the city connection and that fatherly figure thing, I think is probably the hardest thing to replace Galli, especially because he's more of a personality than just the manager. And I think he kind of like, it's almost like as he's going around, there's like a glow around him that like rubs off to people. And you're not going to be able to replace that with just anybody, because that takes time to kind of grow that by yourself as well. It doesn't happen overnight.
It'd be like if we were trying to get rid of Bickler, how could we replace that personality?
You know what? That's the best. Like, I don't understand Bickler. The whole Uncle analogy was a little out there, but that one.
Listen, guys, there's a bridge downtown. I'll show you. You can pick somebody.
Just go to the next box.
Yeah. That guy will work.
Philip says, whether the manager is the same style of play or different style, as long as it's not a defensive style. Yeah, that's a good point, I think, right? And here's that's a good point, Bickler, because we are almost like too used to it now. I don't think we even consider somebody playing it. But in some ways, I don't think the team is suited for any style that's going to play defensive either.
God, no. This team, who's played nearly 8 years of a high line, would go into shock. Like, yeah. I don't think we'll have to worry about that. I don't think we'll have to worry about that.
So here's another question. The young players. I mean, when we talk about offseason, like the new manager and stuff like that, how do you guys think, Bickler, like, let's start with you on this one, affects how we use and what we make of these young players? Because a lot of the performance of the young players and the, you know, like their infusion into the team, obviously some of it is need, but some of it, a lot of it is because of trust as well. And the confidence they get from that trust and stuff like that, it's kind of like a snowball ordeal. With a new manager, obviously you're going to suddenly lose that a little bit. How does it affect it moving forward? Like, which one of those guys are still going to be able to carry that on with a new dude?
So this is the part that I'm actually least worried about. And the reason, yes.
Okay.
The reason for that is if you remember what we did the best at when we had Edwards, it was bleed people in that should have been in, and it was sell people for great value that needed to be sold. And so I think no matter what happens, like that is Edwards' sort of crown jewel, is how he transitions youth players to senior sides, whether it's internally or whether it's offloading them. And so I think whoever we get is going to be somebody that Edwards feels really, really confident in terms of development. Like, I don't think he's going to get a manager that's not known for development. Like, I think he'll get somebody that really knows what they're doing and is sort of like well-versed in those things. And I think that he's going to also have somebody that he knows will work well in finding these players other opportunities outside of the club, whether it's selling them permanently or whether it's loan. I legitimately am less worried than I was last year with that.
That's interesting, actually. Brian Shelton says this will be a great opportunity for promising young players. Like Ox will be a great opportunity. Speaking of, he's working on yet another injury comeback over here. Good old Ox.
He had a great Instagram live post today, man. He was running. He was doing one touch drills. He was filming himself. He was smiling for the camera. He had the little parachute running behind him. Looked like a guy who was begging.
Hopefully he was on a marble staircase with socks on.
No staircases. Whatever you say,
that's all I can think of him is dancing and the anxiety that Bickler had watching that.
Well, the whole time I was just waiting for 6 weeks out, like six yeah. weeks.
I mean, as always, in a very Ox-like fashion, by the way, like totally off topic, but he was kind of like getting back into form when he got injured. He was like playing regularly, he was contributing and stuff, and then boom, he gets injured again. It's for Beşiktaş this time, so I couldn't care less. But Galli, how about you? What do you think of the new guy and the the young players. And I guess, you know, like, I understand what Bickler is saying, but, you know, we talked about this before. You can only be the smartest guy in the room for so many times. Well, people, like, whenever Edwards knocks on the door, but people will be like, what do you really want? There's a story behind this.
Well, yeah, I think eventually people will be a little weary, but I think what it comes down to is people want those players because they've shown at this point at a high level, at a high club, that they can play. So I do think there'll be quite a few sales. Like, I think that will be what happens, and I think that will be what surprises people. I don't think it'll be like a massive exodus and clear out, but we talk like about the young players. We're really talking about like Kwanzaa and Bradley. If we're really talking about young players, like Elliott and Jones aren't young players anymore. They're full-fledged squad players who have to earn their right.
To the young players, actually, to be honest with you.
Right, so you're talking about the
McConnell and Dans.
Yeah, the McConnell, yeah. Dans.
Yeah.
I mean, did any of us really think they weren't going to buy a player this summer or two? And if they do, the McConnells and Dans, if everyone's healthy, the McConnells and Dans are still U21 players who I only know when Brian Shelton puts their name on the score sheet for graphics that I'm going to post later in the week. Reminder to Brian Shelton. Get back to doing the youth games. But
get off the chat and go do the youth games, Brian.
The internet works for that, my friend. I think that it's a legit, these kids were going to be the kids. And you know, I think the ones out there that probably want the real shout is I think like the Tyler Mortons that are playing big boy football and playing really well are probably thinking to themselves, like even a Carvalho doing a good job at Hull City, they're probably thinking to themselves, I got to go back there and prove myself because I'm a senior player at this point and I got to either make it at Liverpool or leave. I think the new manager is going to bring everyone in. This will be a fascinating trip to the United States because there's never been as intriguing of a preseason, in my opinion, as maybe like the first preseason with Brendan Rodgers at the helm, as weird as that sounds, because we really knew everything had to change and the new owners finally hired a new manager and it wasn't an old legend and it felt like it was a new day. Like, I think this is a big, big, big off season because our squad is in good shape right now, but a new manager is going to change that. And this off season is going to be what scripts it, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think this is the first time in a long time where we don't know what the hell we're walking into. You know, like you kind of knew, yeah, they'll play in preseason, but we'll never see him again kind of a thing going into a season most of the time. And this year is probably the exception. And honestly, like I say, like with, if it wasn't for all the injuries, we might not see a lot of these guys. But does that mean that Bickler, we kind of, Edwards cashes in on these guys as opposed to continuing to kind of work them in? Because, you know, like Klopp was talking about, when they were asking about him, the young kids, he made a point of saying, I hope everybody remembers this in the freaking summer. And obviously, he said that even though he knew he was going to be gone. Does he know something we don't?
Could be a shot at Edwards. I don't know. I think there's just as likely, like, I think it's just as likely that a player stays as they go. Like, I think that's all part of the evaluation process. And I don't think Edwards coming in means that, like, there's doom for like 60% of these players, right? Like, I think a lot of these players are key to the actual youth setup still, right? And I think, like, if you were to ask me honestly, I think Dan's McConnell, I think their time probably came a little early, right? I think a lot of that just came out of like necessity more than anything, right? It's not to say there's not a future for those players, but like, I still think, I mean, it's not that long ago and we were talking about Morton like he was like the second coming of Casemiro, right? Like,
I think six and eight,
like, right, until I saw a live photo of him next to Galli and realized that Galli was taller than him, and I was like, oh, it's like, it's not even a thing, like
also wider.
Wait, what is Galli standing on?
Yeah. I'm like standing on Megan's shoulders.
I'm like either Galli's at a U9 game or something is wrong. Like so, like, I mean, I don't think there's going to be any dramatic changes, right? I think there are going to probably have to be some difficult decisions made here in the next year or two with some of these players. But I think that was going to happen regardless, right? Even if Jurgen was still there, I still think you're making tough calls on some of these players.
Okay, so let me ask you guys this then. With all these young guys and stuff in there, is Edwards telling the new guy, when the new guy is hired, is he telling the new guy, hey, these are all the ingredients we have in the kitchen over there. Just throw away what you don't, like, tell me what you're going to throw away and I'll get good deals for them. Or he's already saying, hey, by the way, I'm going to get rid of these. So don't even count those as ingredients because, you know, this is what I have planned already, Gally.
I don't think he's by any means saying I'm getting rid of these players. I think he's hiring this manager saying, like, I think he's going to hire a football coach. And I think that's the big difference is I don't think they're going to hire a manager. Like, I don't think they're hiring a guy who has any say whatsoever. They're hiring a guy who is going to coach the players on the field. Who tactically...
That's what I mean. Is he going to say... Yeah. You're not going to have some of these guys because I'm thinking of selling them, or he's going to decide what doesn't fit.
I think they'll work together. I think that Edwards sees this as if he is someone gave him a couple $1 billion and he owns this. And I think he's going to hire someone that he sees as like a partner that understands they work for him, that they'll get some input. But at the end of the day, if Michael Edwards decides that selling Andy Robertson to Bayern Munich, right, to replace Alphonso Davies on the downside of his career and making a profit off a guy he stole from someone else once already is brilliant business, and he can do it because he can do XYZ at left back position for this. He's not going to give two bleeps what the new manager thinks about that, in my opinion. He's just going to do it. But I think that manager will have input on which of the players they see fit for their system and which of the youth players. I just think there's certain of the young players that are close to first team football that may actually not be this level for first team football. Those are the guys I think that will, to Paul's point, either go out on a profitable loan or might be sold. Like the Clark kid could be sold. He looks like he could be playing at Crystal Palace right now. He looks good enough to be a Burnley starter, in my opinion. Especially if he was doing it every week, almost like Conor Gallagher did a few years ago. And, you know, maybe that's his level and that's where he belongs playing at this point. And that guy might go for 8 or 10 million because Edwards is like, you know what? If he has 3 bad weeks, he could never get me that fee again. I mean, we saw what happened to Jordan Ibe after 8 months at Bournemouth. They realized what a mistake they made.
Dan just signed a pro contract with us. Do you really think? I mean, those only mean that now we get to make money off of more than anything else right. When they sign the pro contracts. Really, it doesn't mean. I mean, all these kids ultimately have pro contracts at this point, so they're going to be. That's so that we can get money when they're sold. Edwards is going to tell the manager the sort of his list of stays, supports, and go. Says Brian. But Bickler, at the same, like, what do you think? I mean, I guess the same question I'm asking Galley in terms of like what he says to the new manager. But at the same time, I mean, Galley makes a good point, like that Robertson example, for example, knowing what the issues we had in the past with Klopp, right? And maybe those are the deals that he wanted to do, something like that popped up, but wasn't able to, or maybe he did it. And Klopp didn't want him to, whatever the case might be, is he setting the ground rules and says, hey, when I take an opportunity, I do it. And then you say, yes, sir.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's probably a more in-depth conversation than that. I think he's probably like, I think probably Edwards has a list of high-risk players that, like, when I say high-risk, I mean are, like, players that make sense to move if there's an offer, right? And I think at that point, I want to preface this by saying I think it's really hard to find a manager that you're just going to hire that's not going to want to say in any of this, right? Yeah. Like, I think no matter who you hire, there's going to be some collaborative effort. But to Galley's point, I do agree that, like, I think Edwards is going to have a list of, like, hey, if an offer comes in for this player, you know, he's, like, 30-some years old. We've run the legs off him. Like, it makes sense to move him. Here's the list of potential, you know, players that we could bring in to replace him. I think that's how that conversation looks, because then you have an interactive thing where, like, you know, this manager is getting to put his feedback in terms of his valuations. So I think it will be a collaborative effort. I don't think Edwards is going to be like, don't even consider these guys because I'm getting them gone. Like, I think that conversation, I don't think will even be had until there's a manager hired and the squad gets looked at from both sides.
Okay, so he gets basically the new man. And I mean, I don't think we want a manager who's not going to want to have any say anyway, because it means probably somebody who's not going to be like very experienced or have that stature. So you want a guy who's going to be have his own system or his own demands as well. So this is, if Edwards is doing all this work, then why the hell do we have Richards? So that's a good question, in the sense that how much of it do you guys think will be, you know, Hughes deal, Galley? I mean, obviously, all of this stuff is going to require the stamp of approval and the signature of Edwards at the end. But in the percentages, how much of it do you think is Edwards and how much of it is Hughes?
I mean, I can't wait for this one. When we give the blame pie, I'm going to give 100% of the blame pie to Edwards because, sorry, it's like anytime I hear the percentage thing, I'm like, if we're dishing out blame pie, what's the percentage? It's 60% Edwards, 40% Hughes. No, I think Hughes is going to do a lot of the day-to-day work, but do I think anything here is going to happen without Edwards' stamp of approval? I don't. And this is the thing. That's what Edwards wanted and couldn't get, because Klopp got more and more power as he grew with his stature at the club. And as they won more things, he got more of it. And when Edwards said, we won't give Jordan Henderson an extension and James Milner can't have another contract, and Jurgen Klopp demanded both things happen, and both things happened, Edwards decided he didn't want to be here anymore. And then all of a sudden, you know, the Ward kid decided he wanted to spend time with Edwards and his kids. Like, yeah. It was like everybody needed to step away from their job, right? Next thing you know, Stan Van Gundy was coming out of retirement to once again step down in the middle of a title-winning season. I mean, everybody was leaving. But it wasn't Jurgen. Nobody, no, don't look here. Listen, it was not an easy place to work because one guy was uber successful and everything. He was bigger than all of it. And I think Edwards' job, to what Cerzi is saying, is Edwards' job is to replace that. Someone had to step into the inevitable shadow that will be left when Jurgen Klopp leaves. And Edwards now has the bank account and the ego to fill the void. And the folks at FSG filled it, and they let him bring all his friends with him. So you know what that means? There's no excuses. This has to work. He's got to hire the right coach, and he's got to get this thing fully back on winning titles. Like, that's what the culture that's been left is, we're winners, and he's picking it up and saying, we're going to take this to the next level. Then he's got to, this is how you deliver.
And to that, you know, whether it's Keys or Hughes, like, like, and Tim, you remember this from your good old days in retail management. You don't just
good old days.
You don't just you don't just hire and delegate, right?
Right.
I mean, that's not what good managers do. Like, you have to brand a system in a way of doing things onto those people that you are eventually going to delegate to. Yeah. And if he's going to run multiple clubs, like, he's got to get this nailed down first. He's not just going to send these guys off to do business while he sits up in an office.
Yeah, and I think, you know, like, that's a good way to put it, I guess, because in some ways you kind of want to let those guys do a little bit of their thing too, so you're not the only brains in the room, and they have still the flexibility to come up with stuff, you know, ideas or different things, different ways of doing things, but you ultimately, it's still, at least initially, it has to go through you, because you don't want something happening before you feel those guys are ready. And I think that's why I like the fact that he's bringing in his own guys, because I think that's makes it a lot easier, because everybody knows each other. Everybody knows how the other one works. And it's almost like playing on the same team for a long time, right? You almost know, you know, we know what Bickler is thinking right now, right? We know it's like when the podcast is over, do I play Red Dead Redemption or do I play, right? We know him, so we already know
how quickly can I get this screen down in that pot of Chef Boyardee off the stove.
Or he's thinking right now, did I turn off the heat on the Chef Boyardee?
Is it on simmer or still is it on high? Damn it. He's literally got splatter on the walls.
Nah, he put a cover on it, damn it. I think Edwards is also going to be focused on the new club inclusion, Toulouse, and have an overall say. We had an actually article go out today, and I think there's another one coming out right afterwards on the same topic of, you know, acquiring these other clubs and stuff like that. I know we briefly talked about it before, And you talked a lot about it in the morning, especially with like Matush, because I think both of them lined up on a Monday morning or somehow. But where are you guys with that? Like Bickler, it seems like it's an – I'm not thrilled about it, but it's part of the ordeal that has to be done. It's almost like, you know, money in the game. Yeah, I'm not too thrilled about it, but it's the reality, so you have to go along with it. But where are you at with acquiring clubs?
It doesn't bother me as much, but maybe that's just because we do this in every other American sport. Like, if you look at every other American sport, there's some sort of affiliation where we farm prospects from.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so maybe it's just because it's so Americanized at this point. I also am sorry. I don't know why my dog is, like, literally trying to take my background down right now. She's literally like just backing up.
Chef Boyardee, sign me up.
The dog is literally like my dad built a wall. I'll take it down.
She's gone now, but I was like holding her and she was like leaning back into it. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, anyway, yeah, so maybe I'm just too Americanized. I don't mind it. I know that.
You're American. What do you mean Americanized? I can say that.
Just from a sporting standpoint, right? Like, by the way, this is the first year I have not placed a bet or followed the NCAA tournament, and I'm kind of glad because all the games I watched have been trash. Anyway.
Becoming Turkish. Okay.
Yeah. So, anyways, yeah, like I don't mind it. I think this is probably smart business, and I think this is probably the future, as much as people don't like that.
Brian says, your mention of retail management made my eye twitch. Yeah. The good old days. Honestly, if it wasn't for the hours and the customers, retail is not that bad. But the customers really make
it. If it weren't for all of it, it's not so bad.
Basically. Okay, so Gally, where are you at with the acquiring of clubs?
I mean, I understand where people call it, like, where people question, like, the sporting integrity portions of it because they are teams that compete. I mean, literally, if we were to buy, Toulouse or how the hell you pronounce it, that Brian Shelton believes we're going to be, is the club we are acquiring. You know, we played each other twice this year in the Europa League. So that seems like that's some form of a conflict. At the same time, do I love that Manchester City has already agreed to purchase an outstanding young South American attacker that's coming from their feeder club, Girona? No, I don't. Is it Girona? It's Girona, it is Girona, right? Yeah. Thank you. Sorry, I just want to make sure. I don't love it. To Paul's point, I think it is part of the ecosystem in the future. And you have the Red Bull system clubs. You have the Italians considering allowing multi-tiered ownership so that they could buy teams like in Serie C. If this is going to happen across Europe, how do we compete without the funds and the sovereign wealth fund nation? You know how you do it? You start buying even more South American players and you stash them at your feeder club and then you buy them for cheap. And then you sell them to yourself at a profit and you don't, it's like you brought up youth players, but you got them from all over the continent. And, you know, for all the people out there that wanted to hold their nose and begged for oil money when FSG was rumored to be selling the club, this is basically our way of competing without replacing the owners who, guess what, people aren't leaving. Like, if anything has been evident over the last 12 months, it's they're not going anywhere because the time to go would have been now. And they're clearly dug in because they got their guy to come back into the fold. So for me, this club thing is probably something that we're going to see happen more than once. I think we buy a club in Europe and then I think they buy a club in South America, to be honest.
Yeah, and like that's why I'm okay with it. I'm not.
By the way, I draw the line at MLS. We buy an MLS club, I'm out.
It doesn't make any sense to buy a team here.
I'm just saying that if we buy an MLS club, I'm out.
I mean, just so he's clear, he's only out as far as he won't watch the MLS matches, but that's basically he's at today.
He doesn't want to have to watch MLS
matches. Yeah, he's basically there today. So we're all on the same page.
Yeah, like I say, I'm okay with it just because I know it's kind of like it's something that you have to do. I don't like the concept of it, but now we know there's a way around freaking everything, right? So even if they come up with something, they're going to be like, oh, no, that's my cousin's club. So it's going to be happening anyway. Might as well make it official and it's almost like you have to. It's always almost like when we were talking about like the whole LeBron and stuff like that. I don't care. It's part of like the, you got to get some income into the team. If you don't have oil money or if you don't have like a country's budget, you're going to have to find ways to get around that and, you know, be more viable economically for one and get better deals. And honestly, in a lot of ways, you know, we were talking about young players earlier. It's a good way to get those young guys to a team where they can play in your system and things like that. I just hope that, you know, we do not do something where we really screw over the club that we're buying, because that would feel wrong for like the local fans there and the, you know, the fans of that club alone. Let me answer that, Bickler. For example, what do you think like a Toulouse fan is saying when they hear, you know, effectively like Liverpool might ultimately Liverpool, not necessarily.
Well, I gotta
Liverpool.
Tell you, if I'm a Toulouse fan, I'm towards the bottom of League One. I'm praying for Liverpool to come by me.
Okay, that's fair. That's basically because it can't get any worse.
So, I mean, I think it swings both ways, right? You probably don't love it if you're a Toulouse supporter, but at the same time, I think there's probably an injection into that club financially. And I also think there's a concerted effort to stick to some sort of a system. And I think, honestly, if I'm a Toulouse supporter, I kind of love it because I know what I am, right? Like, you're not going to be a French league heavyweight all the time. But what you are going to be is you are going to be a club that gets young and exciting players, because you probably are going to have an advanced scouting department that you didn't have before.
Yeah.
So like I'm cool with being like, you know, like a dark, maybe like a perennial dark horse with a really good young talent in the French league. As a supporter, I'm all about that.
Yeah, that's fair. I think, right, Gallia? I'm where you are with that. I mean, if you were, like I say, any team, especially middle of the range team, it's not a bad deal, but do you also feel like you're selling out?
Well, sure. I mean, you think City fans feel like they're selling out? Yes, but they like to win. You think those Girona fans were complaining earlier in the year when they were dreaming of being Leicester City and winning La Liga when they were 4 points ahead of Madrid and Barcelona?
You can also,
and they were thinking
Salzburg too. I mean, that, you know what I mean? Like, you can be a team that can, it doesn't really impact you in terms of, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to improve. It can really go downhill too, because you might lose the guy that kind of carried you.
Yeah, well, and don't get me wrong. I do think, like, you become a churning club. I mean, do you think that, like, RB Salzburg loves watching, like, all their players make the next step and the next jump? Like, they leave Salzburg and then they go to Leipzig, and then they leave Leipzig and they go to Dortmund, and they leave Dortmund and they go to Bayern. Like, they don't love it, but you know what they can always do? They can always think to themselves, like, at one point we had Sadio Mane before anyone knew his name. We had Dominic Szoboszlai before anyone knew his name. And you know what's really cool? Like, it's cool for the managers and the scouting guy and the canteen lady and the tea lady. It's cool for all them. You know what's really cool for? Like, the 8-year-old who got to watch those players when they were 22. Like,
if they get their jersey, especially.
Well, I mean, if they got their jersey.
Oh, come on.
All right. It all comes back. Like, let's just go fishing. This is how you know it's international break, people. We pull out all the doozies. That was a good one. That was really, really well done. They would have those memories, and they'd probably have terrible parents who allowed them to beg for clothes from other people who were at work.
Oh, God. Okay. Before
well we played. Go, well played.
Thank you. Thank you. It's what I do. We got the weekend. Finally, the boys are going to come back. Real quick, the way we went into the break, does that almost help in some ways, or am I just being optimistic, Bickler, that, you know, people coming back a bit more refreshed, no bad news out of international games yet and stuff like that, and does that almost help this team kind of refocus?
So you're asking me if you're being overly optimistic about a team that played 9 games in like 18 days getting a break, if they're going to come back refreshed. God, I hope so. Right?
But like, I guess more morale-wise, I think physically we know they couldn't be any more freaking tired. But
no, I think this is fine morale-wise. I think this team looked like a team that was just physically and mentally exhausted from just the amount of competitions. So I expect this team to come back re-energized and reset. I know we all love coming off international break, but I really do feel like it was a much needed break and a reset for this team. it's a huge, huge weekend for us considering the fixtures around us. So, I mean, it is a big, big, big time game. Obviously, Brighton is not the Brighton that we're accustomed to seeing the first half of the season. And so I fully expect this team to come out and focus and get three there. And then really, given the fixtures, you know, an important, important weekend for this club.
How about you, Gally? Where are you at with that? Does that help the way that, I mean, I guess it's more like the way we lost that still hurts, not the fact that it's United, but how does that mentally kind of like reflect now with the boys coming back?
Yeah, you know, I think in some ways, like, I think some people would say, I think having the 2-week break would be like a bad thing. I think it's the opposite. I think for the fact that they were playing every 72 hours, I think if they had to try to get up on Wednesday and go play a league match or like a Europa League tie right after that United crushing kind of defeat, especially in the way they lost it, I think it would be brutal. But I think they kind of acknowledged they ran out of gas, that United earned the right to have a chance to win and then took it. Like, we gave it to them, but they earned the right because they hung in there the whole time and they made it tough on us. So, you know, they were out of gas. We were out of players. They took a nice break. Most of the players had a pretty easy international overall, knock on wood, for the to make sure all the South American players get back healthy. But I think they come out, and I'm with Paul. I think they take care of business against Brighton. But it's the most important match they've played in a while, because they have to get this match to put all the pressure on both City and Arsenal before that match ever kicks off.
Yeah, I'm pretty optimistic about that, too. Alan says, who the hell gives a rat's? Everybody in the world, Alan, I got news for you. Anybody and everybody in the world probably gives a rat's ass. Hence, if you go to the
web, either way,
I should have sold out.
And so does Alan, or he wouldn't be making a comment about who gives the rat's ass.
Not to mention, we just sold LeBron. So now in your feed, you're going to see nothing but freaking NBA and Lakers and LeBron stuff. So the joke is on you, my friend. But yeah, I'm pretty optimistic as well in terms of like these guys coming back. Real quick, by the way, the article I was referring to earlier, FSG's pursuit of multi-club ownership by Harry, is just came out. And I know Chris has an article coming out shortly as well on the same topic. So you guys can kind of read there. I thought it was a good perspective and some good examples of how we can go good and how we can go bad. And also doing some of this work right here. This is our Patreon. This, you can see the dollar a month, also known as Gordon Lee cheap-ass membership tier. You can hop on and grab. You can thank Gordon for that one. But yes, a lot of the new content right here. The latest one was the interview that Mecca did with Steven Speed was like an awesome book out. So go ahead and check it out right now. All the content is free for access, and then subscribe for free, and then maybe you'll like what you see, or you'll be like, what the hell is this? But either way, sign up for free so that at least you'll get to know. Gentlemen, let's get some early ass predictions, because that's how we wrap things up around here. Bickler.
I don't like doing this, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to give it a 4-0. Good guys. Yep. I think they're going to come out.
What is in that pot in the background?
I think, listen, like, this has nothing to do with my recreational activities. I feel like they probably sat on this over break and it didn't sit well. And I think they're rested, and I think they're going to come and lay the hammer down.
Okay. How about your recreational activities?
I thought I was going to be like optimistic and say like they're going to come out and actually keep a clean sheet, organize football, and win 2-0 at home. Bickler comes out and drops a 4-0 hammer. So I'm just going to go 2-0.
Brian is going with the Samushin special. I am going with the Bickler prediction, but I'm going with the 4-1. I do think they do come out. I don't want to say angry, but I think, you know, just getting that rest, they come out like Liverpool. And I think we get like to see the actual team with the pressing and everything like that, the energy. And obviously a lot of guys coming back. That's definitely a huge help as well. But it'll be exciting to get the boys back. I didn't even want to ask you guys about international soccer, because God knows what Bickler would have said. Yeah. So I'll pass on international soccer with you guys. But we'll wrap it up for this week. Thanks a lot, as always, for those liking, commenting, and all that kind of stuff. Give us a subscribe, and more importantly, grab somebody by the ear and drag them over to give us a follow as well so they can join in the chat. Have an awesome week, everybody, and we'll see you guys next week. Take care.